But let's do a quick review from this morning in case it was misunderstood or misread. So let me just generally talk about this morning, what I said this morning. Then we'll do a little confusion straightening out with the word begotten. Interesting study. This morning we talked about is God in control? And I say no, he's not. And I wanted to be clear that of course God is he's God. So he's in control, but he's not making all this stuff happening. So yes, he's in control, but no, he's not the one that makes your eyes get glaucoma. I'll almost preach a sermon thing. I want people to get this. I'm so tired of the goodness of God that Paul preaches. Nobody wants it. Romans 11:22, when Paul says, listen, when the Gentiles are done with the goodness of God, God's done with the Gentiles. So I'm in a hurry for people not to want to hear Paul. But people you care about, they don't realize that, listen, this isn't God out there making you have the life you have. If your life is miserable, don't blame God. This is not his chastisement. This is not his judgment on your personality, your personal life, the things that you're doing. All things are lawful. Get it together. All things are lawful. All things aren't expedient. And all things, something can cause somebody to stumble. And something you do is going to be an occasion for the flesh. And, that's fine. We understand those five strings, we call them. But we just went through some verses, and I know people, they had their houses burned down. Sharon had her house burned down. Brian, you had your place burned down. I lost everything. I've got kidney stone issues still. Mrs. Whipper's out there with serious eye problems. Can hardly see out of one of her, can't see out of her one eye, and just stress there. There's been miscarriages all over the place, and people say things like, well, God just didn't want you to have a baby. Oh, really? So God just killed your little baby in its fetus stage? Is that how God works? People have arthritis, serious arthritis when they're younger. Well, this is just what God wants you to have. Oh, really? Makes you stronger. Oh, really? People that die early because they think that we're appointed, we have an appointment unto death. No, we don't have an appointment, a certain time of death. We're appointed. We're going to die. We're appointed to die, but we don't have an appointment. So somebody dies when they're young. Well, that's just what God wanted. It was. And these people with Alzheimer's, suddenly in the last 10 years, this Alzheimer's is a huge thing. Is this God's will in our lives that when we die, we don't really die. We have to sit around and suffer, even though we won't realize we're suffering, but all the people around you will. Is this all from God? The accidents we have day to day to day, is God getting you for doing something? This is what people say. This is what our friends, the KJB Baptist guys, they're just as guilty of anything of saying that sort of a stuff. They'll take you to Hebrews chapter 12. They'll take you to 1 Corinthians 11. See, you participated in the Lord's Supper unworthily. Okay, define worthily, but they can't do that. Go to Revelation 3. It says there that God loves you, he'll chasten and rebuke you. Is that what's going on today? A long suffering. Paul talks about long suffering. Long suffering. Suffering is to allow, remember? Suffer the little children. So long allowing. God's allowing this stuff, and he's letting it go a long time. Why is that? Romans chapter 2. The lost people are having their wicked deeds stored up as wrath, and it'll come upon them at their white stone judgment. But if they were to get saved, that stuff is gone. So God's in no hurry to do that to people. So, you get into this stuff. Paul teaches about the liberty of Christ, liberty in Christ, which probably should have been the message today because this is July 4th weekend, the liberty, this kind of stuff that America has. Right. Come on, people, quit shooting off those fireworks and open your eyes and look at the government control. These floods that are going on in the Missouri and Mississippi, the government's trying to buy all the land that's flooded from the farmers at bottom dollar rate. The weather that we're having, we know it's the HAARP, H-A-R-P or H-A-A-R-P or whatever. Man has learned how to tweak the weather. Do we not realize that man is behind all this stuff? I mean, the kidney stones? Well, too much protein. We have sin in our flesh. We're separated from our sin. We're separated from our flesh, so our soul is fine, but the flesh is still worthless. It's just a horrible thing. And the world is not, God is not in charge of this world. The devil is, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the god of this world. He's the ruler of darkness. He's the prince and power of the air. He's the tempter. Why blame God? And we know that the devil's making stuff look like it's from God, so then the people that do somehow believe in this another Jesus, that when the devil comes down, they'll just love to see him. And if a person rightly divides the scriptures and he realizes, you'll see, now we're not following signs. That's the Jewish thing. We're not here to follow signs at all. But I'll tell you what, we can sure see the clues. I mean, the government, the scientists are making our food. We're not getting the food out of the garden anymore. It used to be tweaked by chemicals, sprayed and colored and all that junk. Peter, you know that kind of stuff. Now, I guess, I read it the other day and I forgot about it. They can make total beef without a cow or something. I don't know. They're just, no wonder we're getting sick. Look at the cancer. How come all of a sudden the sun is having an effect on us? Well, it's not because of the ozone layer and all that kind of stuff. It's because we wash our body with chemicals instead of soup. Anybody out there, you don't wash your body in soup, do you, Brian? I hope not. If I wash my body in soup, it'd be chicken noodle. I have to tell you that. But, you know, I know you, all you other guys out there wash your body in, who's this beef stew stuff? Who's this, one of those big, Dinty Moore beef stew? Yeah, chili. Anyway, soap. We wash our bodies with soap that's got more chemicals in it than soaps. So it's not God's fault. The devil has to be bound. He has to be released again, and then he's going to be tossed into the lake of fire. There's so much going on. And God's getting a bad rap, and I'm just tired of it. I just don't like it. Somebody said that to me the other day on an email. And this guy doesn't understand Paul's stuff at all. And I told him I'm having a rough day, and I'll type to you tomorrow. He said, well, you know, God's... stop it with this chastising stuff. I'll tell you why I'm having a rough day. I've gained 30... John, good to see John. I've gained 40 pounds since I was in Ohio. That's what's wrong with me. Anyway, so... Acts 17 talks about it, Paul. So anyway, that's what the sermon this morning was about. Listen into the whole thing if you want, although I kind of gave it to you anyway. God is not persecuting us. Put it that way. We're persecuted. We are. And it's a mental thing more than anything. Some people get physically persecuted. It's hard to have your family leave. It's hard to have your friends leave. It's hard to have you lose your job because you finally put your foot down on something. Not that you need to. All things are lawful. But you know, you just have to while. You just got to say something, you know? And you get fired over to, or maybe they just fire you because they know you're a Christian. You're a Paul guy. Christians are talking to you at work, and your boss is a Christian, and he doesn't buy the Paul stuff, so somehow he finds a way to fire you. That's the way my pastors were until I became one. They got to get rid of my program. That's what they did. So, God is not persecuting us. Our persecution is a result of things that are going on in this world. It's a result of following the risen Savior is what it is. It's a result of being King James Bible only. It's a result of rightly dividing. It isn't God-caused. God is not tempting us. God is not causing us and then spanks us in the meantime. And any parent that does that, I know there's a lot of parents that treat their family that way. They're a tribulation father. They're treating their family like tribulation doctrine. And those people don't want to be in the tribulation. And by the time you're done being brought up that way, you are mentally destroyed, mentally hooked to that parent. And that's what's happening to people. They're mentally hooked to a God that will spank them if they don't do right. Yeah, well, they're not doing right. But see, they can get it out. They can go to 1 John 1:9 and they can say, I'm going to confess my sins, and then God won't have to spank me. This is where they go. And they think we're nuts. They think we're nuts that when they sing Jesus paid it all, we actually know He did pay it all. So why are you singing Jesus paid it all, but you don't believe that Jesus paid it all? Stuff like that, whatever. So that's what this morning was about. So I'll set that aside. Tonight we're going to look at something. We're going through the manner of life on a detailed basis. And here, I'll give it to you because we got some new ears tonight. Where's it at over here? We're going through Paul's manner of life. And it's tough. But this is what will fix things that's going wrong in our lives. other than general world and sin in our flesh and all that stuff. Here's the order we've been through so far. Discover your salvation instead of following other people or religions. You decide, you have to make a decision. I get my different notes here. Come on, where'd I put them here? Because I want to go through those decisions tonight, just real quick like here. Let me get my, I forgot you guys can watch me out there. So, okay, where's my decision stash here? Here we go. So we discover true salvation when you get to Paul. You find out that you had another Jesus, probably you had a religious Jesus. Then you make some decisions. Have to make some decisions. The decisions, here's a question, we lost sound? There we go, now it's back a bit. Gee, I'm so fat I can just touch something in my mic and I bump my mic accidentally. Are we back on? Okay. So we're going through Paul's manner, but not tonight. We're going to do another one, a short one tonight, so I can wing this stuff here. Paul's manner of life. You discover your salvation was probably a false one. You have another Jesus based on religion and doctrine taught out of the Gospels, and you found out that your Bible that you're using wasn't the Word of Truth, and if it's not the Word of Truth, it's not the Gospel of your salvation. So then your Bible even had effect. Then you got to make some decisions. From where will you get your directions? From a friend, from a pastor, from a church, from other books, Christian TV programs, videos, or what? A Bible? Okay. Make a decision. Which Bible? 500 other different kind of Bibles, King James Bible. Okay, what kind of directions? All the Bible, Gospels only, Old Testament, Hebrews, Peter, Paul, what are you going to do? Write to divide your scriptures. Who are you going to follow? Jesus? Okay, another Jesus or the real Jesus? Are you going to follow Jesus' teachings in the Gospels? We're going to follow Jesus' teachings when he rose. Everybody believes that he rose. Why don't they want to follow his teachings since he rose? It makes too much sense to me. Or you want to follow Paul, you want to follow Peter, you're going to follow James, John, and they're saying, well, who are you going to follow, the apostles' doctrine or Paul's? Then you got to decide which Jesus, the risen Jesus, the gospel Jesus, the tribulation Jesus, or the millennial Jesus, you know, another Jesus. And again, back to which apostle we did that, which commission, the great commission or what I call the greater commission. Acts 13 has the greater commission for Paul. We're supposed to take this stuff all out to the rest of the ends of the earth, he says. And the ways of Paul are supposed to be preached in every church. What's your purpose? Is it the same as Paul's? To please God, whose scriptures are listed, or to please man? Whose faith are you going to stand on? Yours or his faith? The faith of Christ. Are you sincere or are you going to be silly about the whole thing? To whom or to what will you cleave? These are decisions. Are you going to be ashamed or not? Ashamed of what? Jesus? I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Well, it says the testimony of our Lord. The testimony of Jesus Christ is an Old Testament Jesus. Before God was manifested in the flesh, he was with Moses and those guys. He led them through the desert. You go to the Gospel of Jesus, then you got the Great Commission Jesus, then you got Jesus doing the Paul's teachings, then you got Jesus in the Second Coming, and then you got the Millennial and the Eternity Jesus. Eternal. That's the Jesus you're not ashamed of. Why are you ashamed of all that other stuff? And then he also says in Romans not to be ashamed of Paul. I'm not ashamed of Paul. And then finally, which church do you got? That's the decision you got to make. Which church? Is it a denominational church? Do they teach this stuff? Do they teach the ways of Paul? Maybe it's a home church. Maybe it's all by yourself. Once you start the home thing, you end up by yourself. What is church? It's a pillar and ground of the truth. Is it the truth? No, it's just a pillar. And they teach like it's the truth. What kind of worship? Flesh worship? What kind of music to get into? The old stuff? Well, we do the old hymns at our church. Did you know that half the hymns, I shouldn't say percentage, but the hymns that you sing in your church, those old-fashioned hymns, some of those hymns aren't even right doctrinally? Are you brave enough as a pastor to go through those things and pull out the stuff that's wrong? What is the song? Just I always use it for an example. It is well, I think it is. He emptied himself. No, he didn't empty himself. That's where the NIV puts it in Philippians. So, you know, Jesus paid it all except what I do next. I mean, you know, and then proper worship. This whole performance thing is just ridiculous. Well, all it is preparing people for the Antichrist. Okay, so those were decisions that had to be made. That have to be made. Then you finish up in the manner of life. We've gone to prayer. Pray for others. Tears for others and because of others and knowing their tears. Grace, we have to have grace towards others, but we also have to have truth. If you have grace only with no truth, then you're modern lovey butterfly Christian. If you have truth but no grace, then you're a Ruckmanite. Got to have grace and truth. And he tells us to have to speak with grace with a little element of salt. That salt, and there's truth. We can't just leave out the truth. Somebody asks, why are you dressed so modestly? Why don't you tell them the truth? Tell them because you're fat. I've discovered more and more that people dress modestly because they're ashamed of their bodies. Once they get their bodies toned up and lose some weight and stuff, suddenly their modesty is not a big thing anymore. They like showing that stuff off. Male or female, doesn't matter. And by the way, no, if I lose my weight, I'm not going to start walking around in those stringy little t-shirts and junk. I'm not going to start showing off my physique. That's not going to happen anyway, but still. That's what they're doing. I know so many ladies that lost their weight and suddenly they're not modest anymore. They're so proud of themselves. Here, look it. Okay, so how did that fit into this thing? Oh, grace towards that. You got to have, when you tell somebody you're modest, you tell somebody why not as loud anymore, or you tell people why your hair is different, or you're not going to go to these places anymore. You don't tell them you're busy. You tell them, I don't do that anymore since I became a Christian. Does anybody ever have the guts to do that stuff anymore? I told my principal, I'm not going to do any Santa Claus songs. Got to draw a line somewhere in this Christmas stuff when you're teaching little kids your music. And it's a tough time of year. Always has been. But they understand this. They can deal with that. It wasn't just because there aren't any. Well, there's tons of songs on Christmas, you know. But anyway, it's tough stuff. I'll probably have to, something will happen somewhere in there. It'll do one. Then we talked about the untouchable nesses. The nesses, the kindness, lowliness, meekness, humbleness of mind. This is all towards other people. We were looking at Paul's manner of life concerning other people. What is it that's going wrong? It's possible that the reason some of these people aren't interested in what we're talking about is because we're not living Paul's manner of life very well. We're not a good testimony. So we're going over what it is that Paul teaches us how we should be towards these other people. I can't find the second page here, so I'm going to go by guessing. If I guess right after the Nessus, we looked at long suffering. Where's my whole stack of papers? I put them over here, didn't I? We'll get it. We're coming. I hate to go just by my memory because my memory's so stinky lately. Too late reserved for you. That's not one. I got too many papers. Remember, Mark, you talked about all those papers that you have too much of? Well, here's my little stack. Manner of life 6, manner of life 7, manner of life 7. Here we go, 9. That's as far we got so far as 9. Then we get done here with these decisions and prayer and grace and truth. Then we looked at long suffering and forbearance. We have to forbear other people. And remember, long suffering is allowing things to go on without just shutting them down like a Bible thumper kind of guy. Then we looked at mercy and we looked at patience was our latest thing. We need to have mercy towards other people. And we need to have patience with others. Now, what comes after that will be the tougher stuff. I mean, do we just stick with this stuff? No, we'll talk about that Wednesday night and then next Sunday. What do we do next in our step? So tonight, we're going to still break from the role of traditional series here. And we're going to look at something somebody asked me about, and that was the word begotten. Okay, so there was our review of the last 9 sermons about manner of life. We'll continue that on next week. Which is probably why you guys weren't here this morning, because you don't want to hear what's coming up next, you know. No, actually the hard stuff to me is the kindness and the humbleness and the long suffering and the grace. I don't mind the truth, but to have grace. And I also said in our whole series here that what keeps us from doing these things? Well, if you've got an argument that comes out of this stuff, there's only one thing that causes contention. And what's that? Pride. Why am I not good at kindness? Well, I gotta knock my pride down to have somebody get away with something. Well, they're not getting away with it. They don't know any differently. What if they do know differently? I'm going to hammer them. No, I'm not going to hammer them yet. All in God's timing. I mean, you know, that's our problem is pride. Whoever has more pride gets angrier, walks out sooner. Humbleness of mind, your pride's going to knock that one down the drain real quick. So that's the issue we're dealing with. People probably, they don't want to hear Paul because they don't want to hear Paul. I mean, there's no doubt about that. That's a spiritual thing. and that the religion has taught them different, or their pastor has taught that if you just mention the word Paul or rightly dividing, they quit listening to you right from that point on. And the King James guys are just as guilty, because if you just say Paul at all, Ruckman's got them thinking that, well, you're a hyper. Right off the bat, you're a hyper. Oh, just so tired of that stuff. I talked to a guy the other day, and he's not talking to me anymore now. Said that his wife is having the pain that she's having because she's a smoker and she doesn't have enough faith to quit smoking. And I said, how can you tell your wife something like that? What kind of husband are you? That's not right. So God's punishing her because she's smoking. And he's not being punished. He's got a healthy life because he's not doing that stuff. That's a Baptist guy. King James, the whole crowd, our crowd, our former crowd. And that stuff's just been starting to bother me lately. And so that's why we talked about this morning about, is God really the one doing all that to us? Because if he is, like I said this morning, I don't want that from my God. That's not the kind of God I want that's going to do that to you. So anyway, enough of that ramble. Let's look at the word begotten tonight. Now we know when we mention the word begotten, I would imagine you've already realized that in John 3:16, we'll see they take the word begotten out of there. And they shouldn't do that. No, I'm not mocking that. Yes, these modern Bibles take out the word begotten, and they shouldn't. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Okay, that whosoever believeth in him. If they just put in the word Son, then we're not his sons. Because if he is his only Son, then these verses that Paul talks about, Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's us. We're sons of God. Are we begotten sons? That's right. John is right. Sons of God, but only one begotten Son. But there's a little catch here, which is kind of interesting. One of the things I've learned over these years of looking into Paul, remember Paul says it's the way of God more perfectly. More perfectly means it's more finished. That which is perfect has come. That means that whatever that thing that's coming back in those days was perfect. It was done. It was finished. We know the King James Bible is errorless. We know it's infallible, inerrant. We got the whole long list of things, and they all say perfect, but they don't use the word perfect correctly. When they say the word perfect, they mean there's no mistakes. No, the word perfect, as defined in Samuel, 1st and 2nd Samuel, this is what perfect means. It's finished. When you get done cleaning your room, how long has it been since you've all done that? And you look at it and you go, perfect. Doesn't mean that there's no. It means you're done. You've done the job. So that which is perfect has come. Well, this Bible is done. There's nobody's going to add anything else to this King James Bible. So how do I get into that again? Boy, I lose my mind on this stuff so fast. Okay, so we're talking about sons of... How did I get into the perfect thing? I got off trail so quickly with that thing here. Okay, what was I saying to get into perfect? Anyway, you don't mess with the King James Bible, so they don't take out the word begotten. And okay, so yes, Jesus was the only one begotten, okay, my only begotten Son. But if he takes out the word begotten, then we are no longer able to be called the sons of God. He says in 2 Corinthians 6, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Who's that? It says, saith the Lord Almighty. Okay, so we're still his sons and daughters. Now, in Galatians 4 and 5, to redeem that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Okay, we're an adopted son. Are we begotten of God? No, there's only one begotten Son of his. He says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, fast little bunny trail. Let's go to Peter for a minute, because that pops up in Peter, and people will use that little phrase there, in a crooked and perverse nation, you know, blameless and harmless. Where's that at in Peter? Somebody find that for me really quickly here. Somewhere it talks like that in Peter. Anybody got that yet? Anybody got that yet? That doesn't look like it. Anyway, it pops up in Peter, and they'll use that one little verse to prove that 1 and 2 Peter are written to us as Gentiles. And it's not. The whole thing is geared to Jews. But it's just an amazing thing. They see one word, one verse that sounds like Paul, and they just stick the whole book to prove their point. And that's just not right. I guess I'll get back on the trail. This is the bunny trail. There was no animals in the bushes to speak of there, so we will get back on the trail here. It's in there somewhere. Sounds a lot like that. Okay, get back on trail. So we're the sons of God. Well, that's the one I just read, right, in Philippians. That's Paul talking there. Peter mentions something similar to that. And people find it in Peter. They say, see, there it is in Peter, so that means it's written to us. No, there's things that Paul teaches that Jesus actually taught to the Jews in the Gospels. There's things that are going to be taught to people during the tribulation from Peter that are being taught to us today through Paul. So just because Paul's got some stuff in Gospels and in the tribulation books doesn't mean that those books are written. Those books are written to the Jews. They're not written to us. The Gospels are written to the Jews, and we learn from those things, but they're not written to us. If God wants something said that He's told to the Jews, either in the Gospels or in the tribulation time, if there's something He wants said to us, then Paul will say it. Yeah, that's kind of what it is, yeah. Mark, there, John in 2 Peter 3, without spot and blameless. But see, during the tribulation, they will have to be without spot and blameless. And when Paul says it, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, that's our goal as a Christian. Our goal is not to get along with everybody and play along. And yeah, we have the long suffering, and we have we kind of asked him to there a little bit there, Mark. So people think that we are supposed to just go with the flow. Well, we go with the flow as best as we can, just like Paul kind of did, but you still got to throw in that truth somewhere in there. So yes, blameless and harmless. But they sure don't think we're harmless. We are the sons of God. He says that there. We receive the adoption of sons. And many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. We are the sons of God. So how does this word begotten throw in there? And it's really a short thing here. John chapter 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Okay, full of grace and truth. Notice grace and truth comes in that order. Oh, you're all right. I was asking for somebody to help me find that verse. Then it's okay. Otherwise, you keep your preaching fingers to yourself through this thing, like I wasn't doing to you, you know. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. We know John 3:16. John 3:18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Okay? So yeah, Jesus is the only begotten Son. Now, Paul talks about it twice. First of all, let's look at 1 Corinthians 4:15. 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, and I know he's talking to Bible colleges here, you know, I just can sense that, you know. You get all these teachers in here, you know, but none of them are like a father to you. They're just tossing this false gospel to you. Anyway, yet ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Okay, so we are begotten sons of Paul. Right? Doesn't he call Timothy his son? Well, Timothy is not Paul's birth son, but he's his son through the gospel. So, Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. We're begotten sons of Paul. Now, put that on somebody, watch them throw up and get mad at you. What do you mean we're sons of Paul? I'm a son of God. I know we are. But how are you a son of God? Because of what Paul taught you. through the gospel, through what Paul taught you, gospel, God's spellings, God's words, from Paul. Paul is the one that begat us as spiritual sons. So try that on somebody. Well, yes, not only are we sons of God, Jesus was the only begotten son of God. We're sons of God, but we are actually begotten sons of Paul. Paul is like I know Abraham's the father, spiritual son. I know all that stuff from Romans chapter 4. But in all reality here, Paul is our father. So who are we studying? Are we going to study Abraham? No. We're going to study Abraham because in Romans chapter 4, that's Abraham's blessings to all the nations. You know, the blessing of God to a country, to a nation, based on following Abraham, is not that we give them the money and the support. It's the fact that Romans chapter 4 tells us that the promise of Abraham is that faith will be imputed for righteousness. For us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that hath raised up our Jesus from the dead. So, there's how Abraham blesses the nations. There's how the Jews were going to bless the nations with his Messiah. We have already trashed, as a nation, we have already trashed Israel. I mean, the Obama guy's not the first guy to dump on Israel. George Bush wasn't the first guy to dump on Israel. Clinton wasn't the first guy to dump on Israel. Reagan, even everybody's favorite man, Reagan, who says he was a Christian, even stick up for the King James Bible. You read his diaries, Reagan is no more a Christian than my little Meadowlark right here. Based on what he taught and believed and said in that book, he's not a Christian. He was a very good religious man. These are all religious people that are dumping on Israel. So we have all these floods going on. And somebody can go back and find out something within a week or two before the flood started. When does a flood start? But anyway. And they're going to find out that we did something wrong to Israel, and God's chastising and judging America for when we messed up on... You know, Katrina came about a week or so after we withdrew aid from Israel or something like that. Oh, come on, please. It's just like people say the judgment of God is on the Midwest because of the sin that's going on along the Missouri River or Mississippi. Come on. Why is Las Vegas still in existence? John, we lived in Las Vegas. Why did God do New Orleans before he did Las Vegas? Mardi Gras is nothing compared to what goes on in Las Vegas. Although God has taken the water away from those in Las Vegas. No, he's not. I mean, Las Vegas is going to be running out of water here pretty soon. Lake Mead is way down. Well, don't you remember when we had a drought in the Midwest and the central part of America and Colorado and stuff? Well, their prayers are being answered right now. Now they got some more rain they know what to do with. And it's flooding everybody's homes. So what God does not... God doesn't know how to bless anymore? Is that what we're talking about here? No. The reason they're running out of water in Las Vegas is because they're building golf courses and lakes in the middle of the desert. What happens when Kadoka runs out of water because we get it from the Missouri River and it shuts down the pumps? Is that God's judgment on Kadoka? No, because who should build a town in the middle of the prairie 2 hours away from the nearest water source? No, this is not God's fault. So I can get back in this morning's sermon again this morning here. But see, we're still his sons. But we're not begotten of God. But we're begotten of Paul. So we go back, I know what it was, we go back to Abraham. Sure, Abraham, by faith, you know, it says there, the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all, no doubt. Which, by the way, and I hope I don't get off my mind off, this is why people think we need to still follow Jews' teachings in the Gospels and in the Peter and stuff, is because we're all... Father Abraham, Father Abraham. So let's follow all Abraham's teachings to the Jews, you know, and the law and the Levitical law and the commandments, and let's get into the gospel because we're still Jews, so we should follow the Jews' teachings. It's just like, where did you get your brain from? Obviously, you must have been to Bible college. Only the educated can think that stupidly, to think that that's what's going on. Okay, so we realize here that we are begotten through the gospel. And we're begotten to Paul as our father. We're learning from Paul. Now, That's it. That's all Paul says. There's one other verse he says, but he's reviewing history. Acts 13, verse 33. God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Okay, so he's quoting a psalm here. He also says that Hebrews, So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. Now, if we look at that closely, Acts 13, and go back to Acts 13, guess I better go there myself, and we're going to see, though, that what he's talking about, look at Acts chapter 13. Paul is going through, he's not going through the birth of Jesus, the begotten Son, what he was, the only begotten Son. He's going through his resurrection. Look at verse 28. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Paul's talking here historically about Christ's resurrection, not his birth. So when it comes up and it says again, it was written in Psalm, it's not talking about his birth, it's referring to, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, because he brought him back from the dead. Right? Okay. Now if we look at Revelation chapter 4, chapter 1, verse 5, Revelation 1:5 says, And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. So if there's a first begotten of the dead, there must be going to be what? A second one, and a third one, and a fourth one. You know what we are? I don't know what the number is, but we are down the road of begotten of the dead. So now he had to go down to hell, and he had to take those Jews that had died, and he begot them. He brought them alive, brought them back. They're traipsing around on the earth again. Now, there's somebody who was begotten of the dead. They weren't begotten like Christ was begotten, the only begotten Son of God. But they were still begot. Philippians 1:10, okay. My poor pages are just falling apart here. Philippians 1:10 says, That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may sincere and be without offense till the day of Christ. Oh, Philemon, Philemon. Sorry. I was going, okay, John, what are you talking about now? John's about the only one I give permission to distract. I'll rebuke him later. Philippians 1:10, there we go. I beseech you from my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Okay, I was going to leave that one out, only because it says the same thing, begotten to him. So yeah, there it is. Philippians 1:10, first, you got that Bible concordance. Boom, there they are. You know, isn't that amazing? We have a Bible concordance that gives us every verse at the touch of as a flick of a mouse and a finger here. We can have every verse that has that particular subject in there, and we got people that are confused beyond their own confusing brains. Just for Dr. Riker's sake, and maybe I think Moonfixer knows this, Brian, John, that when I first got into this Paul stuff, and I had to preach these things, one of the things I started doing was I would type in whatever word I'm going to study on, like begotten. And I would print off what Paul says about begotten. Then I would print off what begotten says in the Gospels, and then I would print off on a third printout what begotten says in Hebrews to Jude. And you know, every time it's been different. Every time. So we see the use of begotten in God's begotten Son in John. We also see that we are begotten by Paul through the gospel. And we see that Jesus Christ was begotten again when God brought him up from the dead. And that we are of the list of begotten of the dead. When we die, we'll be begotten. But not in a manner that Jesus was begotten the Son of God. Because there's no physical birth involved here. God manifests himself in the flesh. There was no physical union between Mary and God, contrary to what the Mormons say. God's up there having, oh, that's just gross. to think that God, all the people in this world, that's all God, what all God have a time to do, but he'd be making kids up there. And then those little spirit children come down here, and if they do good enough, they get to go back? Come on! I mean, blindness is blind. Reprobate mind is a reprobate mind. But, come on, you get your own planet and all this kind of stuff, and ladies, you're going to be pregnant the rest of your eternity? Does that sound exciting? Remember living in Vegas, John? We could tell a Mormon wife at the grocery store, baby in the tummy, baby on the cart, baby in the seat of the cart, two or three kids hanging on the cart, a couple kids walking behind her, and a couple grown-up kids carrying the bags. That's a Mormon woman down there. And they want that for eternity? That's if their husbands can pull them out of the grave by their long, flowing hair. And it doesn't matter to those ladies that there's five other ladies in the house Monday through Friday. It's just, I don't know, I'm sorry. You know, every false teaching is an element of truth in it. And every false teaching is a truth in the wrong dispensation. Taught in the wrong dispensation. Yeah, and they think we're weird. Right. Yeah. Romans chapter 6. Christ takes care of sin. Not just sins, but sin. So if he got rid of sin by getting rid of the law, then we don't have sins anymore. We have bad works, and the judgment seat of Christ is going to burn that up. That's too simple. How does Christ take care of sin? Well, he fulfilled the law. Okay? Can you fulfill the law? Go ahead and keep trying. You're going to end up in the judgment, in the tribulation, where you're going to have to fulfill the law again. But in that time, Acts chapter 2, what is God going to do? Acts chapter 2, he's going to put the Spirit of God upon their what? Upon their flesh. So they can actually walk right. We cannot walk clean enough today because we have the Spirit of God in us, not on us. But in the tribulation, Acts chapter 2, he's going to have to put the Spirit of God upon them. Because he's going to ask them to do right. And when they get off the trail, he's going to spank them and get them back on. That's fine. That's the way it's done. That's when you're in this world. But this time of dispensation of grace with Paul is different. This is the joy of Christianity. This is what the Jews should want in Romans 11. This is what Americans should want from Christianity. You mean Christ will just take care of sin? All things are lawful? And I can just go out there and do stuff? Well, you can't, but you're going to pay for it in the judgment seat. And you're going to study Christ, you're going to learn about Him, and pretty soon you're going to not want to do wrong just because you realize how much Christ loved you. And he says in Romans chapter 12, it's just reasonable for me to ask you to try to live to please God. That's all. Not that big a deal. I mean, you can try to do a few things, can't you? Can't you just have your body a living sacrifice, which means some things you're just not going to do? Well, none of us on this list are very good at it, except Floyd, you're too busy to do anything wrong. Right? And Moonfixer, you got everything together. I'm sure you do. You're an organic farmer. God's going to bless you because you're not eating chemicals. Right? No, our mind wants to serve the law of God, but our flesh wants to serve the law of sin. It's still there. But those bad works, he doesn't call them sins anymore. Well, it's just a word thing. No, it's not just a word thing. Just like you don't say you're born again, because that was a phrase used to the Jews as a nation. So if you use that, you'll put people's brains back into John. No, that's not written to us. That's to the Jews. Paul says we're quickened and we're made alive. And then he gives us the details. So this whole thing we're looking at begotten here is because there is differences here. We're actually begotten of Paul through the gospel, just like Timothy was. We're in the list, a long ways down the line, of begotten of the dead. Who were the first ones? Well, Christ was the first one. And he wasn't dead when he was born from Mary. He was begotten when he died. Then he was begotten again. So he's a double begotter. Yeah, Jesus was begotten twice. Once when he was born and once when he was dead, and God brought him back. So what did he do to us? He's going to bring us back when we die. So So we're begotten. And we're begotten of Paul because we've already been begotten spiritually. And yet Abraham is the father of the whole thing because Abraham's faith was counted for righteousness, which is what ours is. And now we have the faith of Jesus Christ. And we grow in faith, but Galatians tells me that we live day by day by the faith of Jesus Christ. And I know what this guy is going to say if he listens to this whole thing tonight. He's going to say, well, there you go. See, God's, back in this morning, see, if God says there in Galatians chapter 2 here, he says that, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And he's going to use that, and he's going to say, see, there's where God chastises you. No, it doesn't say that. He's a long-suffering Savior. He's going to let us do what we want to do. He's going to teach us not to. The Bible, what is it there for? It's for doctrine. It's for reproof. It's for correction. It's for instruction in righteousness. That's how God's going to chastise us. That's how God's going to rebuke us and reprove us through our Scriptures, through this living Bible. How do you know it's a living Bible? Because the devil had to come up with one that calls the living Bible. That's another clue right there. And yet this guy that talked to me, he says that all Scripture is given for application. He said that. He couldn't possibly have meant that as far as in the Scripture. I'll tell you what. If that whole Bible's given to me for application, and I memorize the Ten Commandments, then I better be a Seventh-day Adventist or a JW, because Paul teaches the Nine Commandments. He doesn't teach all ten. He teaches that the remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy is not there anymore. Okay, so if that whole Scripture is written for application, how are you going to apply the Ten Commandments from Moses and Paul teaches them differently? How are you going to balance that thing out? Galatians chapter 3 tells me to... what are we doing on time here? Galatians chapter 3 tells me that I need to be... Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, I think it is, tells me I need to be a peacemaker to be a child of God. And yet Galatians chapter 3 tells me I need to have faith in Christ to be a child of God. How do you reconcile that? Easily. Galatians chapter 3 is written to me. Matthew was written to the Jews. Now, just for a sidelight joke, I don't mind being a child of God by having faith in Christ Jesus, and I don't mind carrying a peacemaker with me everywhere I go. I'm okay with that. A little humor in the congregation there, har, har, har. But anyway. Now, I'm coming back to my scribbled up notes here again. So there's where we are. Begotten Jesus, begotten Son. He was begotten when He died again. And we're begotten of the gospel through the gospel, there it says. And let's look ahead into the tribulation a little bit here. Just look up ahead in the tribulation books. What books are those? Well, the ones that are at the end of your Bible. Why would that be? Because the tribulation and millennium is at the end of life as such. So why wouldn't it be at the end of your Bible? Why is it so hard for you to realize that Peter and James and John in a sailboat, another reason we don't sing that song anymore, wrong three guys, Peter, James, and John in a sailboat, ignoring Paul over there in his own little surfboard all by himself. Remember the shipwreck? Paul knew how to swim. And he could get someplace. I love that sermon about the shipwreck in there. Anyway, so you go to the back of your Bible. We're going to look at 1 John. We're not going to do Peter. Let's go. I might as well. I'll be fair here. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. You're going to see where people use these verses to say, well, see right there, partner, that begotten's there in Peter too, so we're all the same. No, we're not. First of all, have you read all of Hebrews? Have you read all of James? Have you read all of 1st, 2nd Peter? Have you read all of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Jude? Have you read that? Do you understand what they're teaching? It's different than what Paul teaches. Galatians chapter 1 says, you teach that today and you'll be accursed. You can't have the real Savior and be teaching that junk today. Well, there's something that'll stir the mud. You mean to tell me I'm not saved? I didn't say anything. That was you that came up with that thought. Why did you come up with that thought? Maybe you're not. How do you come up with another Jesus there, partner? Well, I don't know. I bet you don't, do you? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us. Oh, so the people in the tribulation will be begotten. Well, sure they will. And it says, again. Ah, again. So it's happened. Yeah, see, they were in a different time, different dispensation now. Unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Sure, they still have to have faith. Revelation 14 tells us that. They've got to have faith. But they still got to do the walk. They still got to obey the law, the commandments. And they can't take the mark. So if they don't do those three things, they'll be begotten again. But they won't be begotten until the Lord actually comes back. I can't remember where the verse is at, maybe you guys will, where they don't even receive God's grace until the end when He comes back. We have God's grace now. We don't have to go to the throne to beg for God's grace. They will have to go to the throne to beg to find God's grace. And when they get it, it's at the end when He comes. So sure, it's okay. Of course they're going to be begotten again unto a lively hope. But they're going to have to do something to be begotten. We've been begotten through the gospel. They're going to be begotten through their works and Jesus Christ who did what they did. But He's going to have to be... Look at another one here. 1 John chapter 4. Begotten's talked about there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. Well, that's easy. That's not being applied to us. That's just a description of... We know that. That's nothing new there. Okay, there it is. That we might live through Him. Yeah, they're going to have to live through Him. We live through Him because of what He's done for us, taking care of the law. No sin is imputed anymore without the law. And He spiritually circumcised us. Yeah, that's all been done. Now, how are they going to live through Him? They're going to live through Him by Him telling them how to live. And if they don't live right, He's going to chastise. He's going to rebuke them. Why? Because He loves them. I don't have a problem with that. But this is two different things. Two different dispensations. You can't go to 1 John. You can't go to Peter for things taught to us today. You learn from it. What are you learning here? I'm learning I don't want to go through the tribulation. I know more about the tribulation right now than people going through the tribulation will know. Unless they have a King James Bible hidden somewhere. And they're going to go to some church in the tribulation, and you know what their pastor's going to preach? Their pastor's going to preach and teach Paul. We're having such a tough life here, there's such persecution, we need God's grace, and for by grace are ye saved. He's going to pull up Paul. Peter says that, last chapter of Peter. They're trying to figure out Paul's teachings. It's not going to work, you guys. That's the wrong teachings, okay? Okay, look at 1 John. I'm just bunny trailing here, rattling on here. It's nice to have a crowd out there. 1 John chapter 5, 18. Now, here we go. This is some stuff here for you. Let me turn it. 1 John chapter 5. If you need to go, you need to go. I got time. I got all night tonight. I love doing this stuff. 1 John. Where's 1 John? Right before 2 John. Okay. Here we go. 1 John. There we go. 1 John chapter 5. Now to me, I remember somebody on the internet, must have been, it was before I got into the Paul stuff, but one of the ladies out of the Ruckmanite crowd, former Ruckmanite crowd, wrote and typed to me and said, by the way, Mike Paulson, that 1 John is not written to us as Gentiles. I remember thinking to myself, what? What are you talking about? See, we've all been there, haven't we? Somebody talked about this Paul stuff, and you went, what are you talking about? Not following Jesus' teachings. Oh, we're following Jesus' teachings, all right. We're just following His risen teachings. And maybe some of you clicked right away. But, I mean, I know the one that I'm doing this begotten thing for has left again the Paul thing. But he'll be back. You know, we just can't let go of our teachings we've had for years and years in our Baptist churches or wherever you're coming from. We can't let go of these false Bibles we learn from. We just can't let go. We can't let go of religion. We just can't. And we're trying so hard. But when it makes sense, like 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God. Oh, really? He keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Well, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the Lord there. If we go back to 1 John chapter 3, whosoever is born of God, verse 9, doth not commit sin. Well, if you're begotten of God or born of God, then and you do something wrong, you sinned, you're not any longer born of God. You're lost. You lost your salvation. And they excuse us by saying, well, then you were never saved in the first place. Oh, stop it with that lousy excuse. That's just because you don't know how to answer it yet. Yeah, we can't lose our salvation in Paul's teachings. Well, maybe you never had it in the first place. Oh, that's possible. Maybe you had another Jesus. But, you know, I'm clean as a whistle. My soul is clean. And so was Paul's. And Paul had a hard time all the time with his flesh. Romans chapter 7. So what, was he saved, not saved, saved, not saved, saved, not saved? Maybe he's never saved in the first place? Come on. Just. I hope our buddy down there in Pensacola Christian College listens to this sermon tonight as well. Crazy. Look at 1 John 4, chapter 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Is that our salvation today? That's the same thing it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Acts 8:37, this Ethiopian eunuch and with Philip, and this guy says, hey, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That was what salvation was in the Gospels, to believe that he was the Messiah. So, when it says here that he that is begotten of God, you better make sure who he's talking about there. Okay. And we'll turn out that's the begotten. We're begotten of the Gospel. Paul's our father, but the begotten Son is Jesus Christ.